probably say it to someone just about every day, but you know, saying thanks is more than just a polite gesture. It's a lifestyle. So the question is, how well are you living it? Find out on today's edition of Grace to You. Never been a more perfect living situation than what the Garden of Eden offered, yet even there, Adam and Eve showed they weren't content, and it's been a downward spiral ever since. So let me ask, how about you? Are you able to recognize and be thankful for the blessings that God has given you? Or are you distracted by the things you don't have? The house you wish you could buy, the spouse you wish you had married, or the promotion you didn't get? All those dimensions of your life that may not be, let's say, ideal? Well, today on Grace to You, John MacArthur will help you step back and develop the perspective God wants you to have, an attitude of thankfulness no matter your circumstance. And with today's lesson, here's John MacArthur.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Thanks should be a part of our normal speech. Look at Ephesians 5. Do not let immorality, porneia, sexual sin, or any impurity, that's a word that would mean every other form of sexual sin, or greed, even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And, verse 4, there must be no filthiness, dirty talk. No coarse jesting, that's a word for obscenities. No filthy talk, no foolish talk, no obscenities, which are not fitting. But rather, what? Giving of thanks. Boy, those two are far apart, aren't they? When you open your mouth, give thanks. Give thanks. I was in the home of Pastor Constantine in Belarus, and he had been in prison for many years. And a godly, saintly man, pastor for many, many years. He's a great, great man of God. So I said to him, I said, you know, Constantine, I said, you've suffered and you've gone through all this and you went through the communist regime and the whole business and what was it like? I mean, what kind of things did you suffer? And what do we need to know about that time? What do Christians need to know about that time? And he looked at me and he said, he said, I will only thank the Lord. I will not speak of such things. He wouldn't speak of them. He would just thank the Lord. That's all he would speak about. That is a marvelous thing. When you open your mouth and that's all that comes out is thanks. The Christian life is not nearly as complicated as some people think. It's just these attitudes that we've been talking about, practiced. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, you have an extended command that really says the same thing that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. It says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, there was this ridiculous idea in the pagan religions that if you got drunk, your drunken stupor induced a higher state of consciousness in which you communed with the deities. It was that very same theory, by the way, that Timothy Leary borrowed from ancient religions and translated into the 50s drug culture. If you really want to transcend and touch the infinite, get high. Remember? That was really out of the old pagan religions. And instead of that, Paul says, you're not going to commune with God that way. Just be filled with the Spirit. And the result of that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We could sum that up in one small word. What is it? Joy. And then verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, constantly, always giving thanks. That's what a Spirit-filled person does. They're characterized by joy and they're characterized by thanks. Now, thanksgiving is the normal pattern, and we should be in the Hallelujah Chorus thanking the Lord for His mercy in saving us. We should be thanking Him for all the blessings He pours upon us, for the way in which we can give and extend those gifts into the lives of others and cause more thanks. Thanks should come out of our mouth every time we open it. We should be thankful in everything, constantly, unceasingly, because the Spirit is controlling our life. And if He is, we will be. And when you're not thankful, the Spirit's not in control. You say, well, you mean to be thankful even for the difficulties? Of course, because those are the things working together for good. Those are the things that are perfecting. After you've suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10, the Lord make you perfect. James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials because they have a perfecting work. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we continue this little pilgrimage on this marvelous theme. It says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Just be thankful, even when you're bringing up your petitions, even when you're praying and your supplications are going before the Lord, it ought to be in an attitude of total thanks. The Apostle Paul, always thankful. You say, well, there are a lot of things in life you can't be thankful about. Well, look, if I were Paul, there would be one thing I wouldn't be thankful about, and that would be a really messed up church that was a lot of trouble. And the one that comes immediately to mind is Corinth, right? Listen to what he said. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you. And that was just before he laid him out. See, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but shouldn't mess with your thankfulness. You say, what was he thankful about? They were saved. They were God's own. Much to be thankful for, even though they broke his heart. So, this is very important. We are called to an inward, incessant joy and a constant thanks. The model for this, that I can't resist taking a minute to just show you this. The outstanding model for this, to transcend all others, of course, is our Lord. In Matthew 11:25, just listen, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father. For thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Jesus is approaching the cross, and this is what he says. I praise you, O Father. Or actually better translated, I thank you, O Father. I thank you for the privilege of serving you. He had a thankful heart. It wasn't easy, obviously. He was going to go through agonies we would never be able to comprehend, but he had a thankful heart. You see it repeatedly, pouring out thanks to God. We can't look at all of those times, but just another one maybe, John 11. In John 11, you know, he's dealing with the death of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Jesus says to Martha, who's worried because Lazarus has been dead 4 days, and as the King James says, by now he stinketh. So verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone, and they were afraid this horrifying stench would come out. Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. You know, you wouldn't really think that Jesus would need to thank the Father for anything since he was God, and since the plan was really equally his. But what a wonderful example it is. He thanked the Father for the privilege of ministry. He thanked the Father for hearing his prayer for power on behalf of Lazarus. He could even thank the Father for the death that he would die to redeem sinners. In fact, in all that was so terrible about his humiliation, he was thankful to the Father. Paul tells us then, back in our text, what we need to hear again and again. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. This is his will. There are some things that come into our lives that tend to cause us to be hindered in these right attitudes. Let me make some suggestions. If you have trouble being thankful, let me tell you perhaps why. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're deceived. Maybe you just think you've been regenerated. Maybe you had some emotional experience and nothing more. If you can't find in your heart endless cause for thanksgiving, then maybe you don't have a new life. And maybe you ought to do as 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And moving beyond that, let me give you a second thing that can hinder your gratitude. Doubt about God's sovereign power. Or let's say doubt about God. If you don't think God is really in charge, if you're ignorant about that or don't believe it, if you're not sure God is really all-wise, if you're not sure he knows everything about everything, if you're not sure he really loves you as his own, if you're not sure he really has your best interest in mind, if you're not sure he's trying to perfect you into the image of his son, if you don't understand your God and his purposes, then you may not be thankful. Or, I might add, if you do understand them, but you tend to forget them. Why not be thankful for anything if you know God's power is at work in it? God's wisdom is at work in it? God's purpose is at work in it? God's love is expressed through it? But if you doubt that, you're going to have a problem being thankful. There's a well-known counselor in our country who tells people that there are times when you need to get angry at God. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that he comes from an Arminian background where they're not too sure just exactly how involved God is. There are times when you need to get angry with God. It's good to vent that. It's a sin to do that. And it may rise out of ignorance of a sovereign God, always with a good purpose, for your good and his glory, and always in control. A third thing that may be the cause hindering gratitude is selfishness. And this links up so much with joy. It's that attitude that says, no matter what I got, I don't have what I really want. I don't have enough. I want more. And my will is more important than God's will. I don't know what God has for me, but I know what I want for me, and God ought to deliver. Boy, that'll really destroy gratitude. I want my circumstances different. I want my children different. I want my life different. I want my ministry different. I want my spouse different. I want my job different. I want a lot of things different. I want more of this and less of that. If that's what drives you, and you've set your own agenda, then you're going to have trouble. On the other hand, if you say, I only want what God wants and I'll believe that God will give me what he wants me to have, then you can be thankful, right? Fourthly, worldliness. Awful hard to sort yourself out from that in this culture. If you're into the pleasures and the people and the places and the possessions and the pursuits and the popularity and the prestige, and you just want all the stuff that the world says makes people satisfied and happy, you're going to have trouble being thankful because you're never going to have all that. And when you get some of it, you won't have enough of it. A fifth thing that I might mention is a critical spirit. If you're bitter or negative, if you just kind of have a sour attitude on life, and you know how you get that? You get that by having unrealistic expectations of what you deserve. You get that because you think you ought to control everything, and there's some things you can't control, and that bothers you. And you get that, and you know, this is the sad part. And then you feed it like a monster until it gets as big as a dinosaur. And every time you speak, or most of the time, the dinosaur roars because you've cultivated it. Don't let yourself be critical 2 days in a row, or 2 hours in a row, or 2 half hours in a row. Don't build that kind of habit. If it's unchecked, it'll just smash a thankful heart into bits. This attitude will corrode your love, it'll corrode your joy, it'll corrode your peace, it'll corrode your spirituality. A critical spirit that always criticizes, sees what's wrong with everybody else, what's negative, what isn't the way you want it, what isn't under your control. Always looking at things from the negative side is a terrible, terrible thing to do. And when you cultivate that habit, you get so into it, it becomes a monster to slay. A sixth hindrance to gratitude is impatience. Impatience. God isn't moving fast enough. It's not so much that they want this or that, it's that they want it now. They've got their own timetable. And the perception is that God's not on their schedule. They got it in their appointment book, and He's not keeping the appointments. They want God to work for them when they want Him to work. Impatience. You need to learn to just be patient. Let God unfold His purposes in His time and be thankful that He knows better the timing than you do. I'll give you two more. Coldness. By that, what I mean is spiritual lukewarmness, lack of zeal for God, lack of diligence in the Scripture, lack of passion in prayer, lack of interest in worship, neglect of the Bible, wasting your time on trivia, spiritual lethargy, spiritual indifference. That produces a coldness and a lukewarmness that just kills gratitude. When you spend your time in the Word and you spend your time in prayer and you spend your time in worship and you spend your time in service to the King and the kingdom, it excites gratitude. And one last point, I guess this would be number 8 if you're listing them. Rebellion. Rebellion. And this is the strongest attitude, I think, that mitigates against gratitude. And this is when you're in a settled state of outright anger toward God because things didn't go the way you wanted them. And it's become a settled state of rebellion. You are angry with God. I got a letter, and it starts out, I just read through the stack today. This letter from a sweet lady from back in somewhere on the East, and she says, "Thank you for your ministry and radio, and my husband and I listened, and we loved Grace to You. And my husband had a job, and he felt through the listening to you and the development of ministry began to well up in his heart, and he decided God wanted him to preach. And so he went off and got into a small church." And, you know, I'm reading, I'm saying, this is wonderful, and this is a great story. And then something didn't go the way he wanted it to go, she said, in this small church. And it turned him bitter at God, and for 14 years he has not entered a church. 14 years. He is angry. And she said, "As a loving wife, I have prayed for him 14 years. She said, I'm at the end of my rope. Would you please pray for him? And if it's in your heart, write him a letter." Well, I will. 14 years of rebellion against God. Would you like to live with a thankless person like that in a constant state of rebellion, that woman must be some woman. That man should have said, what was God saying to me? What was he trying to show me? What could I have learned? And how can I praise him and thank him? And the reason he's been in that condition for 14 years is the reason he'll stay there. It's because he's got such a bitter attitude toward God, and until he deals with that sin, he can't be used. Watch out for those hindrances. Don't let them get cultivated in your life. We have so much to be thankful for, beloved. God's holiness that makes him perfect and he never makes a mistake. God's goodness and mercy, which is always available, which is overflowing and abounding toward us. The gift of Jesus Christ, that unspeakable gift for which we are thankful. All good gifts that flow down from the Father of lights. Victory over sin and death. Divine guidance. Complete provision for all our needs, the hope of heaven, the power of the Word, and on and on, on and on we go. Lots of reasons to give thanks. And if the church is to be the church of Jesus Christ and His life is to flow through that church, it'll be people who are filled with gratitude, even for the trials, even for the pain, even for the suffering. And my prayer is that God will fill your heart with joy, no matter what. And that you'll rejoice always and in everything give thanks. That's crucial to the life of the church. And you can do it on the basis of this one little verse in Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you. Isn't that great? And what's he doing? To will and to work for his good pleasure. And since he's at work in you, using all this stuff to work for his own good pleasure, the next verse says, you can do all things without grumbling. You can do all things with joy and gratitude. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and kindness toward us. We thank you for the way in which you have consistently demonstrated your goodness. And Lord, fill us with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, even the difficulties. For those we thank you. It's easy in the good times. Should be easy in the hard times if we understand the purpose. And may we begin every day, no matter how challenging it might be, by thanking you for being faithful and making your mercies new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. By thanking you for all that is ours in Christ, by thanking you for eternal life, the hope of heaven, guidance, direction, truth, trials which humble us, trials which shape us. Give us thankful hearts. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be thanked. In Christ's name, amen.
John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary and featured Bible teacher here on Grace to You. Today, John has showed you how to cultivate one of Christianity's most fundamental attitudes, thankfulness. Well, on this day after Thanksgiving here in the United States, you, like so many other folks, may be thinking about getting some Christmas shopping done. And John, I know that you have, a philosophical point to make related to that gift-giving process. Something you want our listener to keep in mind today as they make their gift decisions?
You know, I remember as a little kid, we had a sign in our house that said, only what's done for Christ will last. It made a great impression on me as a little kid, and it really is true. It's all that matters. And I think as Christians, as devout and committed Christians, we need to look at every opportunity we have interacting with the people we love, and maybe even with people that are new acquaintances, to influence them on an eternal level. And that's why I think at Christmas we need to think about giving people things that have life-changing eternal value. And that means putting them in touch with the power of divine truth. Let me encourage you to make some careful selections of your gifts And we have some things that will do just that. First of all, the MacArthur Study Bible. Every page features footnotes explaining the Bible text, and you can't really apply the Word until you understand the Word. And all the footnotes, maps, timelines, and helps, and articles that are in the Study Bible will get people in touch with the meaning of Scripture. It comes in the New King James Version and the New American Standard. Here's a special offer. With every Study Bible, Topical Bible, Student Bible, or Daily Bible, these are different Bibles that we have, we'll send you a free copy of my book, The Fulfilled Family. We also have a brand new devotional book called Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Powerful. Every day you'll interact with our Lord Jesus Christ. Excellent, beautiful gift book. Special for Christmas, a preloaded Apple iPod, including series on the Fulfilled Family, the Doctrines of Grace, A Tale of Two Sons, The Believer's Armor, and plenty of memory left over for you to add whatever you want. If you're hearing us outside the U.S. or Canada, check your local office for availability. These are the gifts that we'd like you to think about giving this year: a study Bible, a new devotional, daily readings from the life of Christ, and even a preloaded iPod.
To make a spiritual investment in the lives of your friends and family members this Christmas, pick up the MacArthur Study Bible, or that preloaded iPod, or the new devotional book called Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Contact us today. Call our toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE or go to the Grace to You website, gty.org. The MacArthur Study Bible comes in hardcover or leather editions. You can choose the New American Standard or the New King James Version. Large print is also available. And make sure you ask about the new personal-sized edition and the two premium leather study Bibles, including one bound in English lambskin. The devotional book, Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, is available for $17 in hardcover. And remember, the Apple iPod preloaded with some of John's most popular audio studies. Again, to order the iPod, the Daily Readings devotional book, or the MacArthur Study Bible, call 1-800-55-GRACE or go to the website gty.org. Thanks, too, for letting us know what you're learning from these broadcasts. Thanks, too, for letting us know that you're praying for us as you write, Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, thanks for tuning in today. Please don't miss the Grace to You television program Sundays on DirecTV, Channel 378. And remember, you can watch it online anytime at gty.org. And then join us here for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Monday's Grace to You. More than anything, your church needs to be a Bible-driven church, and that's the title of John's study that he launches Monday. Join us as we kick off the new week together on Grace to You.